3.
And we're
blast off.
Yo, blast off. Just like one of them Jerry McGee RC jet planes he flies around. I don't know if you saw any of his videos.
No.
Pete Double. Jerry flies RC. I had a buddy that flew RC planes. I mean, they're different scales. I mean, some of them so big you could put a baby in one of them. You know what I mean? They're huge. But Jerry flies these fighter jets, you know.
Like a Harrier? Takes off like this, would go straight up?
No. It takes off. It's like runway and it's I mean, it's rocket. It looks like, it sounds and looks like a real Top Gun fighter jet.
Oh, man, you must have got all hot and bothered.
Dude, I get kind of worked up over that stuff. Man, I was like, damn, look at that thing. It was just going back and forth. He took it up, brought it down. I mean, Jerry's a cool dude. Folks, we here. We blasted off, wheels up. This is the Mr. National Podcast. We got P-Double.
Number 15.
What?
Episode oh 15.
Oh, my.
When you say 15, able to drive.
I'm almost. I'm getting my permit. You know what I mean? I can get my permit. Man, 15. I remember when I was 15. You know what I mean? When you flashback, that might be my little spat. When you're thinking back, you know, all the stuff you did, you know, taking it back over the years. 15 was kind of fun. You know, you start to feel yourself a little bit. You think you know things, what you want to do, and blah blah. You know nothing. You know nothing. Kids, if you're watching this, your parents let you listen to the Mr. National Podcast. Stay young as long as you can. Old wise saying is, twice a child, once a man, or something like that.
Yeah.
Meaning you come into this world needing somebody to take care of you. And then you get older and you take care of yourself. And if you're fortunate, you live long enough and you almost revert back to a baby. You need somebody to help. Last time you need somebody to help take care of you, feed you, wipe your ass, the whole nine yards.
I hope I don't make it that far. I got to figure out my Heisenberg move before I get there.
Man, if I had enough money, you know what I mean? If I get enough money, I wouldn't mind living.
Get some playmates to take care of me.
Have some of the chicks that's on the stack when that show page taking care of me, baby. Talking about rich, Mega Millions is up to like 900 million, P-Double.
Mega Millions. Who's going to win that, man?
Me. I bought two tickets today.
Oh.
Tickets.
What are you doing folks, talking to my dumbass?
Right. Well, I don't know if I hit yet, folks. This could be the last podcast in our present situation.
Right. We're going to.
You know what I mean? We moving up like George and Wheezy. You know what I mean? We're going to do this podcast from a penthouse high above somewhere. You know what I mean, P-Double? It's like, people be like, oh, well, you know, if I hit, I'm not going to the thing. I don't want to take that picture with the check. I don't want nobody to know.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that. I'm going. I'm taking the picture. Because you're gonna see me anyway. You okay? You're gonna be like, who's that dude that's always at the front row of all these basketball games? Who's this dude? Ringside at all the big prize fights. Who is that guy? So you going to know me. You going to see me. I'm going to buy studio time. I'm going to drop a rap album. You know what I mean? I'm going to just do it. So, you know what I mean? They talk about, oh, I don't want nobody to know. I mean, hell, you going to know. You're going to know if Mr. National hit, because you're going to see him everywhere. You know what I mean?
That brings up a good story I got to tell you.
Uh-oh. P-Double, so, dropping knowledge. Come on in.
Oh, this is just a dilemma, I guess you could call it.
All right. Let's hear.
You know who RBRM is?
RBRM. No.
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. They're going on tour. Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike.
No Ralph.
No Ralph, no Johnny.
Damn. Hey, no lead singer then.
Bobby.
Yeah. All right, so what's the dilemma, P-Double?
They're coming to my town.
They're coming to Michigan.
Yeah, they're coming to my town, Grand Rapids, Michigan, on November 8th.
Ooh.
I could get tickets right now. I could buy tickets.
Go! That'd be nice.
I was considering going and sitting in the getting the meet and greet package, you know?
You should do it.
So, the problem is, my wife doesn't want to even go. She's like...
She got a pitch on your parade, man? She should go.
Doesn't even want to go. And I didn't tell her I was going to get the meet and greet, because if I told her that, she definitely wouldn't go.
Oh, my. You got to go.
Should I just go by myself?
Hell yeah. Dude, yeah. You're going to be rocking out. You at the meet and greet. Go up to Michael Bivins. Tell him you know me.
Mm-hmm.
When he was managing Boys to Men, who I grew up with,
he grew up with Boys to Men.
Yeah. I know them guys. Yeah, especially Nathan Morris, the one. Yeah. Now he has his own little home show. Now he remodels houses.
Really?
Yeah, I know him real well. Yeah, real well.
Maybe he wants to get on the Mr. National podcast.
I ain't putting him on the show because he got here. Wait, I got to talk to him, too. He's got a construction show where he remodels big mansions, you know. Uh-huh. He flips mansions, you know.
Right.
That's his new show on some TV network. I haven't got a chance to catch it.
All right.
But he didn't contact me. You know, he knows I do construction.
Right.
You know, he didn't get me involved. So, no, Nate, you can't be on my podcast. Not yet.
Wait till the show gets a little bigger.
Exactly. But Michael Bivins came to Philly a few times when he was managing them back in the early days.
Yeah.
And the reason I know Nate very, very well is because his first cousin, grew up with me, lived on our block. So he would come visit his family.
Okay.
He always stayed the night and stuff. We played football, mm-hmm. tons of stuff. One day I'm going to get the haircut by the cousin. Mm-hmm. Craig, his name is. So, Michael Bivins is in there. And Michael Bivins is trying to get in and out. So, I let Michael Bivins jump me in line. You know what I mean? I was next to sit in the chair.
Right.
And he goes in and he, you know, shakes my hand and was like, man, thanks. I appreciate that. But if you say, you know, Craig, you know what I mean? Craig, I'm buddies with Craig. He knows all them guys. Mike Bivins.
Wow.
He knows.
Wow.
That's if you go. I think you should go.
Yeah?
That's a good show.
By myself? Even though, can I go by myself and sit back up in the front like that?
Yeah.
Yeah? I've never been to a concert by myself.
You'll just be dancing. Everybody be having a good time. You know?
Yeah.
It'll be fun. Yeah. Go. Go. Wait till I hit Powerball. We'll fly in a private jet to all those shows. Me and P-Dub. Well, we got a loaded show. P-Double got the list stacked up. We up to show 15. I mean, it's called the Mr. National Show, folks, but just as well, it could be the Paul Pate experience, because he is the one who put this all together. I'm just riding his coattail. and enjoying the ride, you know what I mean? He did a solid for me. That brings me to one of my things, doing good deeds for people, P-Double. Mm-hmm. I mean, P-Double reached out to me, you know, which was a good deed for me. I was like, man, this guy really thinks that I'm interested enough to have a podcast. I'm like, all right, I'll do it. But one of the guys we had on our show, Doug Kiker, you know, his baby Jesus. His website for, you know, he's doing a good deed with his website, thing for recoveries, finding jobs and placements and stuff like that. which brings me P-Double. What have you done, or can you remember a good deed or great deed you did for somebody or somebody did for you?
Well, you know what? Just this morning, what happened? Wow. Well, first of all, it's been a good day today. I got up and I was headed out and I scraped the windshield for my wife. Because they were covered with frost.
What? Oh, yeah, it was chilly in Philly today.
Yeah. So I scraped her windshield. She thanked me for that later. But then I was on my way. Oh, and then we were having a big lunch at work.
Right.
And I was supposed to bring chips. Me and this other guy were supposed to bring chips and dip. And so I texted him. I said, did you get dip? Did you get the chips and dip already? Because if you didn't, I'll go to the store and get them. And you don't have to get any.
Right.
And he texted me back. I got enough for both of us already. You're good. So I didn't have to go to the store. Oh, and that's when I decided to scrape the windshield for my wife because I had a little extra time. So then I got to work. I went down to get a cup of coffee, and this dude, like three or four people ahead of me in line
at the
Starbucks, because we got a Starbucks where we work.
Are you a Starbucks guy, huh?
Once a week. I've got a budget. So anyway, this guy, like three or four ahead of me, buys three or four of us coffee. Buys our coffee.
What?
He bought it for us.
Damn.
I couldn't figure out who it was until we were leaving and I was walking out. And I thought, I think that's the guy who bought the coffee. So then I had a meeting with this guy. And we went down to the cafeteria. We're sitting there. This is later in the day.
Right.
The guy I'm meeting with says, I'm going to go get myself a cup of coffee. And I said, hey, I think that's that guy right there that bought my coffee earlier. And so the guy I was meeting with went up, and the guy bought his coffee, too. Like, that was like 2-3 hours later.
He brought more coffee?
He would buy more coffee. I don't know. That guy may have hit the lotto.
I hope it wasn't Mega Millions. I want to hit the whole 900 million. Man, that is pretty.
This is a sweet day.
Listen, it's,
you know,
Peter.
Nothing big, but you know, those
right.
little things. Well,
I got a big.
Got a big one?
Yeah, I mean, not but that I did, a person I know. I mean, one time I remember a guy I was working with, it was his wife's anniversary or birthday or something, and he was. I remember his idea of his gift that he was going to do was something was stupid.
Right.
Dude, you can't do that. I was like, you know, I told him about this fancy restaurant downtown.
Right.
He was like, I'm going to get there and this and that. You know, I don't know. So what I did, it was Capital Grill. You know, shout out. This is the Mr. National Podcast. We're shouting out Capital Grill. I don't know if you have one in your area, but we have three in they're a real upscale Capital Grill restaurant. It's one in downtown, Cherry Hill, and King of Prussia. High-end areas of the area. So I made him the reservations. I was told him the menu because I had been there a couple times. And he lived. So what I did, it wasn't my car. I got my parents' Cadillac. They had one of them, you know, the bigger Cadillacs, the four-door.
Mm-hmm.
And I put on like a black suit and everything.
Nice.
He's an Irish guy and his wife. So I dressed up and I drove to his house and picked them up and opened the back door and everything. And then drove them to the restaurant downtown Center City and dropped them off. And I was like, just text me or call me when you're done and I'll come back and get you and drive you back home.
Nice.
And, yeah,
does his wife know who you were?
Yeah, she knew me. Oh, okay. I met her a couple times. I went over his house a time or two, have some beers and stuff after work. So she did know. That's why I did it, because his wife was so cool and everything.
Right,
so
right. You're like, you can't come lame.
I was like, dude, you can't come lame like that. I was like, you're going to like this. So what they ended up doing, he's like, they walked down Penn's Landing, you know, South Street and stuff, went to another bar, had some drinks. And then when he called me, I came and picked him up. And then what I didn't know, he knows I smoke cigars. They both do. When I came pick him up, he was like, you know, they always call me Johnson with the Irish accent. Right. Johnson, this was large, buddy. This was great. He's like, I picked you up a little something. I said, what? I'm like, you ain't got to do nothing for me. He had like 3 or 4 cigars. He nice. Stopped at a cigar spot downtown. And the guy was like, I want to get something nice for this guy. And he gave me cool. 4 nice ones. So I dropped him off. She gave me a hug and a big kiss. And it was like, oh, my God, Clara, I had so much fun. I was like, you know, no problem.
That's awesome. That's a great story, dude.
That, listen, this pales in comparison. I won't disclose the person, but a person I know, here's, then we'll get on to our list, our show. Talking about doing good deeds. A guy, his sister was married, having problems. She was having complications getting pregnant. I think had a miscarriage, whatever,
right.
going nuts. He was like, she was, you know, borderline suicidal, you know, was wow. like getting serious, you know. Right. And his wife, who wasn't real young, she was in her 40s, or maybe just getting to 40, up in her 40s, said she would have the baby for her.
What?
Yeah. No.
Women are just could do that, man. Dude, oh man, can you imagine?
Dude, so they went to the doctor and all this stuff, the hospital, the lawyers, everything. Took the sperm out of the husband, injected it into my buddy's wife. So it was you know, took the sister's whatever good part she had or whatever, you yeah. know, her genes or whatever, stuck it in there, and basically just put the baby inside the guy's wife. And she carried the baby for 9 months, gave birth, and then gave the baby to the sister-in-law.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
Man, that makes your little car ride look sorry.
Yeah. Exactly.
I thought that car ride was so cool.
Yeah. No, I'm like, dude, that sucks. No. I ain't never carried no baby for nobody. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Was doing that is going, you know what I mean, deep. Doing a good deed. I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you sure? Out? I said, you sure you're going to do it? She was like, yeah, I'll do it. It's no problem. I'm going to do it. I mean, she needs it. It's yeah, she's yeah. miserable. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, wow.
Wow.
I was like, that is
when did this go
crazy.
Down?
A few years ago. The baby, I guess, will probably be about 5 or 6 probably now. I mean, if wow. they listen to the show, if they want to chime in, and talk about it, have at it. But
wow.
that was incredible, dude.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I thought about that good deeds and stuff. I mean, buying some Starbucks, all right, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, getting dressed up like a butler and driving to a couple around downtown yeah. and stuff, that's pretty nice.
Right.
But getting pregnant with somebody, carrying a baby.
Messing up your body, you know, I mean.
What? You know? All of that.
Yeah.
Well, Pete, dude, that's how we started show number 15 yeah. on the Mr. National podcast.
Wow.
Okay, folks? So if you want to do a good deed for somebody you think you don't, you know, step your game up.
Right.
MP right. Double, right. we know some good people, and we trying to one-up them. I tell you what, wait till I hit that $900 million, all the good deeds I'm going to do.
How much of that are you going to spend on your walk-in closet?
A lot. And I'm gonna try to help every stripper, you know, in America, you know, try to make a little extra. I'm gonna help them out.
You don't want to just give a handout; you let them earn it, right?
They gotta work for it, you know. Wow. Yeah, yeah. We're gonna make them earn it, you know. So P Double, let's get some sports going, huh, bro?
Mm-hmm.
How about that matchup
of this past week? Did you watch it?
A little bit. It was on late. I caught, and people probably know by this time what we're talking about. The Patriots in Kansas City, okay? And we all got that game right on our stack with that Pick'em Challenge.
Right.
All three of us, Smokestack, National, P-Double, all picked the Patriots. Because no young quarterback goes into New England and beats Belichick, okay?
Right. So, but I mean, I was pulling for KC the whole time, of course.
I mean, yeah.
If you're not a Patriots fan, you're a big Patriots hater. I mean, you know.
Right. I agree.
They're one
I
of
agree.
Those teams.
I agree. I mean, but Brady showed, you know what I mean? Brady
yeah.
showed up. You know,
yep.
He's 41 years old. I mean, he is one of the all-time greats. Top three.
Top three.
Top three.
Not top two, not top one. You're going to be top three.
Joe Montana is the best, dude. Come on. Come on, man.
You're not going to give it to Brady after all these years.
Hell no. With the way this passing, I don't know, dude. None of these, I mean, even Breeze, who's the all-time leading passer now.
Right, right.
Breeze is going to have all the records when he's done.
Right.
Okay? But it's
game on the line. Game on the line. Who do you want as your quarterback? The GOAT.
Joe Montana. Absolutely.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, Brady is doing awesome. And he's 41 years old, dude. So he's.
Yeah, but how long could Montana have lasted with all these
protections? In this style, where you can't fall on him, where you got to roll off him, okay? How much yards would Dan Marino have if receivers could run across the middle without getting hit? Okay, Marino would average. Okay, this is Marino's average in today's play. 5,000 yards passing and 40 touchdowns. I think he would average that every season.
He probably would have broke 60 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. That would just be his average, 40 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. He put up 4,000 something back in 84. Actually,
the game, watching Mahomes this year reminds me of Brady. Marino. Reminds me of Marino when he was a rookie.
Okay, reminds me of Favre a little bit.
Yeah,
he runs around.
Well, just saying his
pace, his touchdown pace.
Yeah, his touchdown, his stats, the fact that he's a rookie and he's just balling. You know,
right?
Yeah, the way he plays is a little bit more of a gunslinger. You know,
yes,
he's running around a little bit like Warren Moon.
Yeah, I mean, just like I think
like Favre,
did on with Favre. I mean, he's fun to watch. I mean, Andy Reid's got a new toy, and he's pulling out all the tricks on him. You know what I mean?
But age always beats beauty.
Right, the wise old Brady. That was a great game.
It was a great game, man. That was they
jumped out on him early, and then KC didn't fold, and they came back and made it interesting. I was asleep though. But NBA is back. P double.
What do you think? What's your hometown team?
We got huh?
What you think of your hometown team?
They not ready. They not ready. They played my Boston Celtics, one of my teams, and they spanked them. The Celtics spanked them.
Right.
Ben Simmons got to work on his shot, but the Sixers will be all right. They'll be either a 2 or 3 seed in the East.
You think the Celtics are going to come out of the East?
Yeah.
No question. What about the West? That's going to be crazy. It's going to be good.
West is over. The title is going to Golden State.
You don't think there's a shift in the balance?
No. Golden State, I mean, other than an earthquake, to catastrophe, Golden State will win it.
Boston.
Yup, that's my my thing. Yup. Unless KD, Curry, and Clay all get hurt, you know.
That is a power team right there, man.
Ah, dude, that is almost unfair. I mean, I like Pete over that guy in Milwaukee, the Greek freak, dude. That dude. And but the Tombo, I can't pronounce his name, but he is something else. Anthony Davis out in New Orleans is a great young player.
Yeah. Yep.
They just busted Houston's ass last night. And tonight the Sixers play the Bulls, Sixers home opener.
Right.
Usually, in years past, I would go to the Sixers home opener, but they haven't been much to watch lately. So I try to catch a game or two, especially when they're playing one of my teams, the Celtics or the Spurs. So.
Oh.
Talking about baseball, basketball, P double. How about that post on Facebook about what is the game called in your area where every man's for himself?
This is a great, great post too, because how many times do you show up at the park and there's like 15 dudes standing around playing the game
Right.
Whatever you want to call it. Like, you could have a game going right now, 5-on-5, full court, but no. They're all standing around talking, trash talking, and playing, what's it called?
21.
21, that's what we call 30, it.
33.
33 and 50, I never heard of those.
Yeah, well, I think it was the score, 33, right. Whatever the score went to. Ours right. was called Rough House, and I think the game went to 33. But if you didn't win by two, yeah. it, you had to go back.
Right.
You had to get 33.
So if you make a basket, then you shoot 3 free throws.
Yeah. Sometimes we changed it. We would do, sometimes it was 3 and all. So if you made a basket down low over everybody, boom, you got 2 points. Then you go back to the free throw line, and boom, you sink one. That's 1 point. You sink two. Sometimes if they knew you were a good free throw shooter, somebody would go up there and stand at the line and put their hand up. Then you had to shoot overhand. We used to play 3 and off, or after you hit the first free throw, you had to move it back to the 3-point line. Okay. You had to move it back to the top of the key.
Right.
And that's how, and if you hit 3 of them, then you off. Then you get checked up and you got to go against everybody.
Right. You know? Yeah. When I get down, you know, if it was 3 of us down at the park, let's play Hustle 21 is what we called it.
Okay.
21, Hustle 21. And if you had like 10, 15 guys around playing this stupid game, then they called it. Then they called it fight.
Let's play fight.
We're playing fight. Like, that's exactly what you're doing. This is stupid. Let's play basketball.
Yeah, let's get a game going. Because if you got 10 guys, you got a 5-on-5 full court.
Right. If you got 6 guys, three. You got a 3-on-3 half court.
Yes. If you have 4 guys, you would play the 21. We call it a rough house. Our 21 was the game where you shot from the free throw line, and if you made it, you go snag your rebound and you get a layup. Right. And that was 1 point. So now you hit a shot. A free throw was 2. A layup, then you got 3. Then you go back to the free throw line, and you keep shooting, trying to get to 21. Right. That was our game of 21.
Oh, okay. The game,
that's how we
just shooting.
20. Shooting and a layup.
Right.
Now if you shot the ball, and the ball careened all the way out, you had to catch it on one bounce, though. You had to run and get it.
There was no defense.
It was no dribbling, no defense. It was just
that's
you
why,
against
right,
the
ball. That's right. You're right about that. That's why we call it Hustle 21.
Yeah, okay,
when you play defense.
Yeah, we call it just 21. When you shoot the free throw, 2 points. And then you run up and get your rebound.
On one bounce.
You know what I mean? If you're a good shooter, it just comes softly through the net and just bounce right there. And you run up and you just lay it up.
Right.
I got 3 points. Right. And go back to the free throw line.
Right.
Boom, bang another one. I got 5.
Right.
Another layup, 6.
Right.
So you would just go right. Sometimes if you were good, you could just run the table right to 21 before the guy even got the ball.
Right.
So that was.
But
that
if you
was,
got to 20, you had to.
You had to miss. You had to miss the free throw, and just get the layup.
Get the layup, and then if you missed then you.
Well, then your turn was over.
Right.
You had to hit the free throw.
You had to go back to 12 or back to 13.
Well, in that game, I don't think it was no going back. It was just you were stuck at that point.
Okay.
So if me and you were playing, if I went first, I hit my free throw.
Right.
And then if I missed my layup, then it was your turn to go up. And then you shoot from the free throw, and then you'll get your layup. You made the layup, then you go back to the free throw line. If you missed the free throw and you still grabbed your rebound, you still got your layup for 1 point, but then it was my turn. And we went back and forth. But it was no defense. It was just you against the rim.
Right, right.
I was in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, cheesesteak hometown. That was 21, and we had Rough House. So that was the way we did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And like I say, the Rough House was just a free-for-all, you know?
Right.
Trash talking, and it was before the game. You know what I mean? You were just trying to wait for more people to get.
Right. Until you had a game.
Right.
I went to high school with a guy named Bryant Bowen, and he was a good basketball player. He played on, he was probably like the linchpin on our basketball team. His nephew is Jason Richardson. You remember Jason Richardson?
Oh, yeah, from Michigan State.
Yeah.
Won the slam dunk contest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Bryant pretty much brought him up. And so Bryant's son, Brian Bowen, he's playing professional ball now in Australia.
No way. Nice. Yeah.
So that's kind of neat to watch him. I think he'll make the NBA one day. He's like 6'7". He's a big time shooting guard kind of guy.
Nice. 6'7", shooting guard. That's a good height.
Yeah.
It's great height. Great height. Yeah. This is our first show, Mr. National Podcast, folks. Thanks for joining, my man P Double. It's our first podcast since the passing of Portland Trailblazers owner and more, you know, known than, as Seattle Seahawks owner. And I think he was, something with Microsoft, right?
P Double? Founder of Microsoft.
Co-founder or something.
Him and Bill Gates.
Paul Allen, dude. That was crazy.
Yep.
I reached out to our boy, owner of Tudor Games, who's based, who lives in Seattle, Doug Strom. I reached out, sent him a message, condolences and stuff. I was like, dude, that's a tough one right there. You know what I mean? Like, and he messaged me back. He was well liked, and he was about as ordinary as a billionaire as you think a billionaire could be. He said so.
So he wasn't like Mr. National's going to be.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't, yeah. You're going to know I got money. You know what I mean?
I love how you got it all playing out, too. You're going to go to boxing matches, sit ringside. You're going to go to basketball games, sit next to Spike Lee and Jack Nicholson.
Right there.
Madison Square Garden.
All the big stuff. Super Bowl, I'm going to be right there, okay? Sweets the whole nine yards. I mean, dude, talking about, all right, I gotta get this one out. You know, my 49ers played the Packers in Lambeau Field. That was a great game. I was so proud of my boys. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, damn. I was like, let me text my buddy. Former NFL champion, former Miggle Toys Super, the Miggle Convention Super Bowl champion, Paul Daniels, great friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
His nephew plays for the Packers, Mike Daniels, number 76. I knew that, but it just kind of like dawned. It just slipped my mind when the game was on. I always text him when the Packers on. I was like, you know, what's nephew going to do, you know?
What is he playing?
He's like, oh, you know, he's like, I'm watching. You know, I'm watching. Mike Daniels is a defensive lineman.
Oh, okay.
He's number 76.
Okay.
He's all pro. He's one of the. Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
You search him. Mike Daniels, number 76 for the Packers. Right.
Cool.
I'm supposed to be getting all this autograph stuff. I just got to meet up with Paul. He has it.
Right.
I told him, I was like, get nephew Mike to autograph me some stuff, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, no problem. I'll get that. So the game's on, and I'm like, dude, this is going to be a good game. Hopefully you guys don't blow us out. And he was like, yeah, we got to go out there one time. And I was like, we could have. I was like, we should have went to this one. He was like, if you had let me know, we could have did it. Then he tells me, nephew Mike has a skybox. At Lambeau. Yeah. So I'm like, dude, we are going. So, folks, let's listen. You will see me at Packer Stadium in Skybox. It might not even be the Niners playing, but I'm going.
Okay. I was going to say, how the schedule works now, Niners play the Packers every two or three years.
3 years, right. Depending on how they finish.
Right.
How did they finish? You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, the Niners are so bad, they would never finish in the top two of our division. I mean, that's...
Oh,
I
don't know. Is that how they do it?
Yeah. In the NFC, if it's NFC, you'll play that division. You'll play that whole division, okay?
Right.
Like, say, you're Cowboys.
Right.
You guys might play the 49ers division, I think, every 4 years, right?
Right.
But, okay, that's one whole division. That's four games you guys got. But the other teams in the conference, you play the team in that other conference, which would be two other conferences, you would play where you finished. So if you were the third team in the NFC East, you would play the third team in the NFC North. and the third team that finished in the NFC South. That's how it's right.
Okay.
And P-Double, I only know that because we have been using the NFL schedule in our electric football league the last few years, so kind of got accustomed to how it works.
Right. How did you like the, speaking of that, how did you like the demo that Steve talked about?
The dynamic strategy football, the DSF. Did you see it?
Yeah.
We were, how did it go? Good. I mean, it was
cool.
We kind of winged it, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. I can tell you, I mean, I give a little bit of critique on Al Harvey and James Harris.
Yes.
Their defense is like all or nothing, right?
It's,
You know, they don't get it. They don't, you know.
They don't do the sticks, right?
Right, exactly. Right.
James Harris got it a little bit. He started playing the two deep safety look.
Right.
Towards the end. But that was a very entertaining game. I mean, I loved it.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I think Steve Toff is on to something. And the big kick, the whole day, that Saturday, we were at the pub, was the return of Smokestack.
Right, right. I saw that.
Smokestack was back.
Yeah.
From his deathbed. He rose from the ashes like the phoenix, you know what I mean? Resurrected like Nazareth.
Redemption. Smokestack. Redemption.
Right.
The sequel.
It was good. Dude, it was good to see my boy out and about, you know?
Yeah.
And then he got on the board and played it. And Ernie Grice, who uses the Steelers, is a top, he's a former league champion. He's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But Stack worked him over, man. Stack scored two touchdowns. He went 2 for 2, you know?
With those sticks.
With those sticks. Stack ain't good with a triple threat, but you give him some sticks, his guys will run to the stick. but Steve Toff, I mean, he is on to something there. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Before we had it on, streamed it live, we actually played ourselves, me and Steve, a little bit.
Oh, yeah? How do you like it?
Oh, it's fun. It's different. I mean, I'm not really a big sticks guy.
Right.
Our league is just all triple threat quarterback. I think that's where the skill happens.
Sure.
And I mean, I know some people will argue that, but the sticks just makes everybody level. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
The triple threat, the use of the triple threat, if you got a serious handicap and you can't use it, then okay, sticks it is. But nothing wrong. You got to practice, you know?
Right.
There's plenty of quarterbacks. I mean, every figure maker in our game has some type of quarterback, you know?
Right.
We got Reggie Rutledge with the game changer. We got the Geno quarterback. Everybody's got one. Yeah. James Harris has a spring quarterback. Next Level has a quarterback.
Yeah.
Game Day. So you Brian Phillips makes a great quarterback.
What kind of quarterback does Jim Davis have where he pulls that string?
Dude, Jim, oh my God, don't even bring, why'd you bring that up? That dude, he played in our Philly league, and yeah, I mean, he's the Hulk. He's strong, okay? So you bracing for the strength, the run. You're going to stack the box because he's not that great. But he has a Geno quarterback. I forget what Geno calls his quarterback. The TDQ or something it's called.
Uh-huh.
It's something like that. But it's kind of like a spring, but some kind of tension thing that the arm works on, right?
Yeah.
So use your finger to pull back the slingshot to shoot the quarterback arm forward to make it go. But Jim, and then Geno made a kicker. And the kicker has a little string attached to the foot.
Uh-huh.
And you pull back the foot with the string.
Uh-huh.
And you let it go, and he kicks the ball. Great. People love it. It works. I have one of each. I have his kicker, and I have his quarterback.
Right.
Okay, so Jim Davis has the quarterback, but he attached the string from the kicker to the arm. So he pulls back this little string, man, and Jim is lights out with it. Lights out. Makes him that much dangerous as an offense. because you know he's strong and the run is always there. Now if he gets a guy open, he's going to call pass. He's going to hit that pass. So Jim Davis is lethal with the Geno quarterback with a slight modification to it. Slight. Slight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's so, putting a string on it.
Right. I mean, to talk about electric football and positions and using stuff. So he took the leg from the string from the leg and put it on the arm. It's like somehow some guys use bases, P-double, certain bases for certain positions.
That's what
most people in our game just getting into might not know. But when you get to that next echelon of level of coaches, right. You know, certain things for certain needs, you know.
Right.
Like, say, a cornerback.
Right.
You would not want to use, everybody listening, this is the Mr. National Podcast. We're on show 15. We got my man P-Double with us.
What kind of base you need for a cornerback?
Okay, getting to that. You would not want a rounded front base, a round front for your cornerback.
Right.
Because you're just bumping off. Cornerbacks, you would want a flat front base, okay? Flat front.
Mm-hmm.
A receiver base or running backs, sometimes you can get away with square front on a running back. But mostly you want a rounded front on your receivers. You want that base to slide off. You know what I mean? Obviously the figure helps. You don't want them too forward of the base where cover corners can grab him and he can get held up. Offensive linemen can be either or. A lot of times you do not want to have rookie bases on your offensive line, okay? Because most likely they're just going forward. You never know until, you know, certain plays you might want to crash in on a guy, you know what I mean, or loop out. You want to have TTCs flat on your O-line. You want to have TTCs because you want to be able to move them and turn them depending on what you need done. D-line, rookie bases are fine, okay? Rookie bases are fine. You can use either or.
Rookie bases are narrow. They're smaller, right?
Yeah, well, the prongs are.
They just go straight.
They go straight. But, like, there's guys in Detroit. Ken Allen is one. Dude, these swim move D linemen, these guys right. in Detroit, they produce them. Where the guy's so fast, he might not be the strongest base, but when the offensive lineman comes to get on him, this base has like that receiver that get off. It's like a swim move.
Right.
You know,
he
goes right around you.
How
so,
do they do that?
Dude, I don't know. Ken Allen would never tell me. I played that guy in one tech game, and if you left the border too long, you actually ran into his D-line. They kind of like Jim Davis has it, too. They almost do like an Olay type of thing.
Yeah.
They'll go back just a hair, a yard maybe,
right.
and then swim off and then come up the field. So,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, man, it's tough.
Like I say, you talk about positions, P-double, or what you need. It seems like ITZ has the market corner right now, almost a monopoly. You know what I mean?
But you know what? If you look at Adrian Baxter's team, he doesn't have any ITZ bases.
No, he doesn't. And he's very successful. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Most of the guys ITZ, have ITZ.
Right. ITZ bases are very, very easy to tweak up, okay?
Right.
You do not need a PhD, a doctorate in tweaking, you know, like some of the greats. The Norberts,
right. The
Jims, the Kennys, the Lomax, the James Harris. Okay, you might not. You don't need them.
Get your camp door. I'm going to tweak some bases today and show you what's going on.
Right. Maybe one day when we go visual on our podcast, we'll bring in some tweak bases and we'll show these guys how to tweak up some bases. I mean, Texas, those guys tweak up their own bases pretty good too. Brandon,
mm-hmm.
Pep, you know, RD, a lot of them guys. But the IDZ bases are very easy, folks. Listen to Mr. National. Our girl Karen, who's just awesome. She makes all the rounds to the shows. She never plays, but Karen's always, you know what I mean? She's always there. She likes everybody's posts. You know?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. She's awesome.
She's really nice.
Yeah. So you get the ITZ bases, get in contact with Karen, and she will hook you up, okay? The ITZ bases come with the bumpers, the clip-ons. You can get the round. You can get the flat. You can get the reverse round. All kinds of stuff. But, of course, the Tudor games, the Pro-Line bases have always been used. Maybe not so much now. I think they're going to have to go back to the lab, P-Double, and work on
the last. There's some new bases coming out, too, you know.
They're going to need something because whatever mold that ITZ is using, they got it pretty much cornered. Like I say, they almost have that the first run kind of color to them. Jim Davis will sell a first run pro line. Well, not just Jim. I mean,
right.
Jim, I want some royalties. We mentioned your name on the Mr. National podcast a few times at night. So, but anybody that has a first run pro lines, I mean, you're getting like about $25 to $30 a base. And I don't even know if that's tweaked or untweaked.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, Darrell Brevard would know. Like I say, it's a cool hobby, dude. It's,
Yeah, there's so many aspects of it.
And so many characters.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when I hit that Powerball, mm-hmm. I'm going to pay for commercial time. You know what I mean? I want to get commercials, and I'm going to pay for a film crew, and I don't know if it's going to be a league or a tournament, but I want to do like a reality I have this vision of the camera being in the coach's house in the car, and they're driving to the game, and they're talking about, okay, I got to play this guy, or I got this guy. He's always beating me.
Right.
Go back home. Like, follow Paul, you know.
Yeah. I talked to Rafik about that one time. He's down for doing it. He's got it all figured out how it's done. Like, you got to get, like, three guys. You got to get, like, a top-tier guy. You got to get a mid-grade guy. You got to get like a new dude,
and follow them all around
and document.
Right? Yeah. You go. I mean, you follow their
like
house.
EF Hard Knocks.
Yes, that's what I want to do. It costs money. I mean, it doesn't cost money if the network sees gain in it, they will do it. I mean, we did have ESPN come to a Miggle convention, the one in Jacksonville. They filmed it. Okay. Right. We also had ESPN, that guy, Errol something. He went to LaRue's house in Rochester, New York. That's that guy that has the league. Their league's been going for like 30-something years or whatever. He has the subterranean basement.
Oh, yeah,
the stadium.
Yeah, I saw that one, right.
All the historic stuff. They did a show in his – they went out there. ESPN, right. This guy, like a 30-for-30. They did a 30-for-30 on his thing, so – it has been done, and they followed these guys. They talked to them off camera, away from the game.
Right.
And like you say, three or four guys, because we have some great characters.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, I might try to – I did a documentary on table soccer or Sabudio.
Oh, yeah. That's the one with the things on the side, right? You spin it.
No. The Sabudio.
Oh, the rod ones.
Yeah, where you flick it with your finger. No, you flick it with your finger. Table soccer. Sabudio.
Table soccer, right.
Yeah. Where you flick it with your finger. You slide the guy, and the guy slides and hits the ball.
Is that all the guys are on like a rod?
No. That's, I can't remember what that's called, but that's hockey.
Okay.
Anyway, there's a game called Sabudio. It's table soccer. And I played that game. Well, I did a little documentary on it a few years ago.
No way.
Yeah. It's on the Paul Pate podcast.
Paul Pate's been moonlighting, folks. He's going.
No, that was before I hit it big with the Mr. National podcast.
hit it big. Yeah, right. Here I am. Here I am drinking a bottle of Ripple, trying to drink my misery away. Like, oh, I needed this Powerball.
And I'm over here. I hit it big. I got Mr. National Podcast.
You did the thing
well,
already.
I did a little bit of a documentary, you know. It was, but it was all my point of view. And then I did a little episode of me going to the Buckeye Brawl, and it was just me. But then I talked to Rafiq about it, and he was like, "Man, that was really cool. But what you need to do is get like three or four guys, you know, get a top tier guy, a mid grade guy, and a new guy, and follow them around the lead up to the tournament." And then get to the tournament, follow them at the tournament, you know. And
then, right.
And then
they get, oh, okay.
And it's interesting, too, about documentaries is you never know what the story is going to be. You just got to show up and film it. But since everybody's got phones and everything, you get great footage, you know.
You do. So, why these people get married have even a photographer? You just have everybody take their own pictures and then send them to you.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy now, you know. It's like. Yeah, they still do the senior pictures and all that crap where you pay, you know, pay all this money. I'm like, give me a break. Everybody's got a
cell
phone, grade camera in their phone.
Yes.
You know, so what do you pay?
And you say, everybody, here's the site. Send me your pictures here, and then you might have a professional edit them.
Right.
You know,
right.
Edit them from that point. But boom, there you go.
But I mean, it's not like you're going out and you're doing. Urban photography or wildlife photography. You're just doing a portrait.
Yes.
It was pretty straight up, you know? So.
But Rafiq is on to something. Rafiq, man, that's a cool dude.
Yeah, he's super cool.
He is. That is one cool dude. But he's right. You follow it. And it's not so much the game. The game is the last thing. The game part is there. But it's all the real life stories and the drama.
Right.
You know? This guy might have got fired. This guy's arguing with his wife. This guy's kid. You know?
Yeah.
All that stuff goes on.
Yeah, because in order to make all these tournaments and play this game at a high level, you got to sacrifice.
Got to make sacrifices.
Your wife might not be too happy with you.
No, right. Especially the Tom. I talked to one coach, RD, out in Texas, who's getting back into the hobby. He said he built a new team. He said, 20 days it took him to get his team together. And I forget how many players he had. 20-something days, 4 hours a day. Now, thank goodness RD is retired now.
Right.
Okay, so he can afford to do that.
Right.
But 4 hours a day for 20-something days. That's commitment. And that's what the camera would catch.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Follow Jamie. In his dungeon. Oh, he's making his little movies of him tweaking up.
Yep.
That is interesting stuff. You cannot tell me that's not. And the way they could spin it, oh, man.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to the next tournament I go to. I'm going to coordinate it. Okay, and it's going to be
count
on the Stack Show documentary.
Right. Don't do me like Steve Toff did.
What's that?
When Toff first came up with this idea about his DSF, he didn't even have a name for it. He called me.
Uh-huh.
I was talking about it on the broadcast. He was laughing. I was joking, but I mean it was a joke. But
kind of not funny.
Yeah, it was a joke. But yo, what happened? He was like, "Dude, I got this idea. I'm tired of the way the games and the base wars." I was like, "I feel you." And we talked about what base should be used and some rules. He's like, "I'm gonna get back to you." He's like, "Yeah, you know what I mean? Would you mind helping me out?" I was like, "Absolutely. Count me in. All right, I'm going to get with you." Next thing I know, done dealing of DSF. I'm like, whoa, what happened? I thought I was in.
You thought you were on the ground floor.
Yeah, he left me, man. He left. It's like he fly them planes. He took off. He took off without me.
Hey, no. You're my main man on this, and just as long as you keep me, you know, on the show when you hit that Powerball.
You are the show, P. Double. There is no, there's no show, folks. There's no Mr. Nash show without P. Double. PaulPate.com, okay? like I say, it all branched from my boy Smokestack. Like you say, P-Double, you started your thing, your podcast by yourself, and you was like, it didn't sound too good. I actually did the NFL recap myself, and it's on YouTube. It was just me talking, and it was like, this is stupid. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like a couple views. Once I got Smokestack in, and boom.
It was like Hall & Oates.
It was like Brady and Belichick, Montana and Walsh, you know what I mean? Pat Riley and Magic. It was Ebony and Ivory. It was good. It was good. And
now you're the media mogul that you are today.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it was thanks to guys like you who watched it and was actually messaging like, when's the next show going on and blah, blah, blah. And we kept it going. Like I said, I might have said it in other podcasts or even on the Stack with Nat show. Like, we just two idiots in front of a cell phone.
Now you got StackWithNatShow.com. StackWithNatShow.com. And you can find all the content. And you can go there and you'll find all the content there. You can go from there. You can click the link to the Facebook page.
Everything. It's awesome. You got Skull Shaver. You got the podcast. We got the Paul Pate website is there. We're linked up to the Stack with Nat Pick'em Challenge.
Yep.
Who you didn't tell me who's your pick for tonight. We're gonna finish
the cards.
Oh, you got the cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's who I got, right?
Yeah.
Got text you, all right. We got the same. Yeah. So all that's on the StackWithNatShow.com, which we actually have our own domain name, which is pretty cool. And like I say, all praise is due to Paul Pate, aka E-Double. Right. Oh, man. It's been a wonderful ride. I can't wait to get back with Stack so we can do another show and catch up on that thing. And folks that's listening, he is so lazy, Smokestack. You know what I mean? We got to beat him. We got to tar and feather him. We've been drumming up this blog or whatever. What is it called?
It's a blog.
A blog.
The Smokestack's blog.
Yeah, he's a great writer. Great writer.
You have to chain him to his chair, put a pen and paper in his hand.
Chinese torture.
Right. We got waterboard him. Waterboard him until he writes.
Right. Like, hold his head back and have a drop of water.
Dick Cheney's going to give him a lap dance until he starts writing.
Yeah. Stack, if you listen, get on the ball, dude.
There's so much to write about, man.
Oh, and I don't want to leave out the birthday boy, the werewolf, the driving force behind electric football. Okay.
The spirit of electric football, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the fourth. I'm the face. But he's like the heartbeat or something. Wolf is something. So this is his birthday. He's the birthday boy.
Today's his birthday. He was on the podcast in episode.
Yes, he has. Give a shout out to our boy Shane. How's Shane doing? Is he's back in his podcast.
All right. What's the name of his podcast again?
The Shane Hooper. Yep. He's doing his thing. This time we get a special guest on. I think I want to get Mo on, electric coach, he's our official Super Bowl guy. So want to get him a shout on because we always show love to our boys, the Electric Gridiron Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Those are homies. Okay, those are boys right there.
They're out of commission right now. They're closed down for maintenance or something like that.
Oh, shucks.
So
see?
Waiting on them to come back. I think they're going to be back in big form at the Buckeye Brawl.
At the Buckeye Brawl, right. I don't know if I'm going to make that one. But, yeah, I want to get Electric Coach on the show. Just his take on, all the video stuff, you know.
Right.
He was one of the pioneers of it. And how Electric Gridiron is taking it to another level and everything.
Yeah, Roger always says, from Gridiron Buzz, he always says, you know, this hobby, you can get out of it what you put into it. There's so many facets of it and so many aspects to it.
Absolutely.
And it's true. It can be a sport. It can be a game, a board game. It can be, you know, a sport. It can be just a hobby. It can be an art form. It can be, you know, a lot of guys do the organization. There's a, you know, there was the MFCA for a long time.
Yes. Find your niche. Find your niche. There's a niche. There's a spot for everyone.
And then come with the passion.
And right. Don't do it with passion or don't do it at all. You do not have to be Adrian Baxter. Not everybody can be, you know, we're get the ring, the Hulk, Canal, you know, one of them guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? You could be the video guy. You could be the tweet guy. You know what I mean? It's so, you could be the painter guy. Look at Chris Stacy. That's my boy.
Yeah.
Chris just paints. He goes, he makes a few shows, he paints.
There's guys that were at the tournament in Dallas, the con in Dallas, that weren't even playing. They were just hanging out.
That's me. I don't usually play.
Right, but I mean, that was like their first time. You know, just awesome. Oh yeah, I'm just showing up just to hang out, you know. And they just want to watch the games, you know.
I can't wait till I can retire, you know, like Chris Stacy and everything. Mm-hmm. Retire and just do EF. I'll probably weigh like 300 pounds because, you know what I mean? I ain't going to do nothing. Once I get that power ball, I'll have a nutritionist. And I have a personal trainer too. She's going to be hot. Okay. Look, this show is winding down. We got Pito. We got a big sports. We got the Brewers. Is the Brewers on tonight?
I don't know, but they're giving the Dodgers a run for their money.
They are. I
How
think
can
they
you not like that team.
They small market. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Small market. Houston. No, Boston won. Boston beat Houston.
Right.
Okay, last night. Controversial call with Mookie Betts. But they're at elimination stage. And the Dodgers is up on the Brewers.
Right.
And I think that game is on tonight. Also, the Sixers. How will they bounce back? At home against Chicago. The score right now is Chicago's up 46-42 in the second period. So
I like the Sixers. They got a good young team.
They do. They do.
I mean, you know, they're not gonna win the division or anything, but
they could. Well, no, the Boston is in there. Boston won't win that division. But the town is up. The city of brother love is up on them. They really not feeling Fultz, the second year point guard who was the overall number one, and Covington, the small forward. They want to see more from them. You know, that's the inside scoop from the Philadelphia.
from the city.
Sports. From the city.
The pulse
the
of
pulse.
The city.
The pulse of the city. That's it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we got a lot of sports. Me and P-Double got to get to. And the football game.
And we got to get our picks.
Yeah. We got to do our picks. We'll probably do that often.
Right.
Often. We don't. But, folks, you can tag along. Bring up your picks. We'll, you know what I mean? Pick your winners and see how you do against our professional.
It's tough.
Our expert panel. I like that. Our expert panel. P-Double, who's leading. Smokestack's in second place.
The Smokestack does, like, analysis and research before his picks.
Oh, yeah. He goes into it. He goes
down.
Analytics and everything.
Right. Yeah.
Like I say. We gotta
He's
do
got
another.
A couple of Wall Street guys, you know.
He's a piece of work. He's a piece of work, dude. Show 15 is winding down. Pete, anything else you could think of, bro?
No, man. I'm gonna watch the game, and put the little one to bed. You know?
Father duties, right?
Yeah. So hey, quick story. Tonight we're riding home. I picked her up from. At the after work, riding home. My daughter is 7, and she's really something else, you know. So I got this song playing on the radio. I just got like a John Mayer CD playing, you know.
I love John Mayer.
Yeah, and he's got this song about, you know, how life, you get old and life goes on. And it's,
right.
It was like kind of a deep song. I look back, my daughter's bawling her eyes out. I'm like, what's wrong? She says, I don't want to get old and move away.
Wow, she was listening to
it. Oh, yeah, man. She was listening to the words. Man, so.
we gotta get John Mayer on the podcast. Like, John, you gotta cheer up this 7-year-old.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Make up for made her cry. Yeah,
made her cry. We gotta get John. We'll have our people contact them. We'll get them on next week. All next right. week.
All right, that's it. That's but
well, folks, we're coming in for a landing. This show is winding down. I need permission to buzz the tower, okay? A flyby. Tower.
But hey, yo, I feel the need.
The I need for feel speed. The need for speed. That movie is always, I don't care what you say. That is number
how
one.
How many times have you seen it? 300, 400?
1,000. 1,000, okay? Back when I was at the height of my traveling with the EF, I mean, I was going everywhere. And I had an iPad, and I actually downloaded the movie to the iPad. Not the iPad, I'm sorry, the iPod.
Oh, okay. The iPod.
I'm sorry. Before the iPad came out, it was right. just the iPod with the little dial, the wheel.
The size of a phone.
Yeah, yep, a small phone.
Right.
And that's when my eyes were pretty good back then. But I had Top Gun downloaded. That was like my go-to movie in the airport, on the airplanes. I mean, 1,000. Easy. I watched Top Gun 1,000 times. I could pass in just about any trivia question probably on that movie. Well, let's think about it. Electric football, PWA. That's a big chunk of life's income goes to electric football.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Traveling the whole nine.
Right. But well, you know, many people, so you paid a lot, but you got more out of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, whoever said that, I forget who you said Roger, that, but yeah. What you put in, yeah, Roger from, Fisher. Yeah. He's absolutely right. I mean, yeah.
You may not hit that Powerball, but you're a rich dude.
Yeah. Honestly, yes. You're right. Because, I mean, people surprised me. They were like, oh, man, you know, you're national. And I'm like, what? You know, dude, what you do, and, you know, you take all those pictures and you post them and stuff. I really appreciate that. I mean, you don't really think about it like that. Yeah. I mean, I just go just to be going, and I know everybody can't, you know, like you say, you got kids, wives, all that. Some people can't make it. So I always thought, I mean, I'm going back, P-Double, back to the 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. I just started.
I had this floppy disk camera. It was a Sony. And you slid a floppy disk into it. And you took pictures on a floppy disk. And I would go home and then throw the floppy disk into the computer and then upload them on the old Tudor Games website. So everybody that didn't go, it was all before all this Facebook stuff that. I mean, all the pictures were there. So
right, that's cool.
I basically wanted the people that couldn't make it, all right, here you go. You're here. You're not missing nothing, okay? Right. Everything I saw, you saw. So
you're still bringing it to them. It's just on a podcast now.
I know.
Stacking that show.
When am I going to slow down? The hardest working man in showbiz. Well, folks, this is show 15. We're coming in for a landing. We took off about an hour ago on the Jerry McGee RC jet plane, and we're coming in, P-Double.
It's been a good flight.
It's been a great flight, you know. I ain't got nothing more to add. We out.
Peace.
Peace.